Good afternoon. It's 5:36 p.m. on May the 11th. I'm calling the regular meeting of the South Whidbey Board of Fire Commissioners together. And we have a draft agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. That was easy. Next thing is public input. Do we have any public input today?
Going once.
Item four is the consent agenda. This includes approval of the minutes, finance officers' reports, budget position, etc. Do we have any questions on that?
Just one. I appreciate our finance officer's follow-up to the questions I had about our budget line items that I emailed last week, but I just want to continue to ensure that we are on target in terms of staying well within our budget. It seems that that is presently the case as we're looking at replacing some of our apparatus. I feel a little worried. I know we're going to talk about that a little bit later. It seems like we're on track to have a healthy budget in terms of spending less than we take in, but I would just like to confirm that that is presently the case.
Yeah. There were a couple capital expenditures that were originally in there, and now as we move forward with the financial plan and the capital facility plan, I think those items are kind of up for question as to how to fund them or in what year. So it's about $1 million in there for the capitals, roughly $1 million, that won't be spent at the end of the year, more than likely, unless something else comes up and we get the funding.
Great, thank you.
And then, Chief, are we planning to do a budget review at the next meeting, June meeting? That would be the half year.
Yeah, I believe the mid-year budget process starts at the July. Yeah, at the July meeting, but okay. We're already gearing up for that.
Okay.
Yep.
So that gives us 6 months of data, 6 months of activity.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Am I testing? Testing 1, 2, 3. I guess I am. It's showing lit.
You're live.
Okay, good.
Okay. Any other questions on the consent agenda?
No.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
And I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Next thing is item five, which is member update. So, Chief.
Okay, so we've got three new members to introduce this evening. First of all, we'll start off with Nikki Hagen. You may recognize. Stand up. You can say hi.
So, welcome aboard.
Nikki has volunteered with us for a few years and has been the interim firefighter for the past year, 8 months. Okay. And so that just wrapped up, and then she actually was a candidate for administrative assistant position, and we received I think 9 applications. We took the top 4 forward for interviews, and Nikki was the top candidate and selected for the position and took it. So we're excited to have her on board. She'll continue to volunteer with us, so that's something that we just always have to have a clear line between the volunteer activities and the admin assistant activities. And we're cognizant of that. The next member that we have is Lewis Townsend, who's another volunteer who's actually up at the State Fire Academy currently. I don't know if he's on the, probably not on Zoom, definitely not in person. So Lewis volunteered with us for 6 months, maybe. And then applied for the firefighter position, and we ended up hiring as a full-time firefighter. So he's a local South Whitby for the last couple years. Has been working construction, so excited to have him on board. And I know you probably met him at the awards banquet. Yeah. And then finally, we have Stephen Osborne is a brand new member. So we're really excited to have Stephen on board. It's coming from Snohomish County, Snohomish 4, and Granite Falls.
Congratulations.
So, and Stephen actually was able to go straight to the line because he's already been trained through a career fire academy. So super excited about that. And we've known his father, Greg Osborne, for many years, his assistant chief at Snohomish 4. So great to have you here, part of the family. So
I thought there was a similarity in your two faces.
Yeah, pretty obvious.
I have to one comment with Nikki coming on board. The nomenclature, you're not going to have to learn the nomenclature. And welcome aboard to you and to the others. This is what makes the people coming forward. The service that you all provide is what makes this district what it is. So I like to say, I take my hat off to you. I'm just putting it on and taking it off. Welcome aboard.
Okay. Item 6, which is unfinished business. And policy 1023, awards and recognition, second reading.
I have not received any feedback on this since the first reading. I don't know if the board has any further comment on it.
Seems rather straightforward.
For me, to have my comments.
As long as you're satisfied with it, I am.
Okay.
So do I have a motion to adopt policy 1023? This would be second reading.
So moved.
You want to do the honors? So moved. Done then. I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. New business. First thing is policy 1018, which is disciplinary actions. And this is a first reading of this. We've seen this before, but it got a pretty much complete rewrite, I think. Any questions from the commissioners?
Do you have some discussion points? I don't know if we want to, how we want to approach them. There's a few contextual points. The chief and I discussed one of the aspects that I'm hoping we can work in, and the chief had some good language to utilize because our value base is trust, integrity, and service. I mean, if I got the order wrong, but I just want to make sure that because we're as strong and as valuable as the people that make up this agency, we are nothing without them. Recognizing that discipline and termination are clearly not what we want to do every day and have to focus on, but recognizing that people can err, they make mistakes. And therefore reflecting on ensuring that if folks are trying to uphold our values, they may make a transgression, but that we allow room for redemption. I know the policy tends to address that. Did you happen to write down the sentence that we talked about that kind of incorporated or reflected that?
I don't have it written down for this, but yeah, we talked about that. And I thought it was a great idea. So Commissioner Erickson had brought forward that concept of how do we incorporate those values into this document, and kind of thinking through, well, how do we do that? And I think adding that into that introductory part of the policy itself and a sentence about the integrity, service, and trust.
So prior to the next meeting, I'm happy compose something to make it into the second reading.
So this would go as a part of the preamble.
Yes.
the from the headings serious infractions down, you're happy with the rest of this?
Make sure you speak into the mic. I did have a few questions here and there. If we look under serious infraction section 13, it says violating the district's anti-discrimination and harassment policy. That seems to be redundant with number 15, which is willful or intentional behavior or remarks based on race, creed, color, national origin, age, sex, marital status, sexual orientation. And I'm wondering if we want to have one or the other, because policy number 1016 is basically 15.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable to me. I don't know if you're looking for my feedback on it, but these are all meant to be examples and not an all-inclusive list. And I agree that does seem redundant to me.
Chief, question on this. A lot of these changes came from the attorney.
Correct. Right?
How did the attorney present the subject that Commissioner Erickson has presented? Did the attorney go over this and say why the verbiage was necessary?
So his thought was to this. So that verbiage was already in the policy. Mm-hmm. And his thought was that the reason that he removed the entire lesser infractions portion is that those are just examples. And so it's not entirely necessary to have them in there. And sometimes it could be more restrictive. So I think that would be in keeping with his feelings about this.
Well, I would propose that if we are going to, I mean, basically the document came from our legal counsel, correct? I mean, almost all this is the strikeouts and the changes came from either one of the attorneys that we work with.
Correct.
So I would recommend that before we do what Commissioner Erickson's proposing, that be run by legal counsel.
Okay.
Because that's what we're paying them the big bucks for.
So we're thinking that we would strike section 15, correct?
It's an either or. I would say either keep 13 or keep 15, but not both because of the redundancy. And I don't have a strong feeling on which one is better. The main issue is if you cite the policy number, then you have to go look at it versus it being spelled out in 15. But again, no strong opinion either way.
I would rather see a strike 15, because then that would...
Okay.
You know, it refers us to 1016, and if it gets changed at any stage, then the change is incorporated without us having to come back and change this one.
That makes sense. For 14, I would like to strike the word repeated. I believe if there are any unwelcome sexual advances, requests for sexual favors, and or other verbal or physical conduct as defined by the state and federal laws, that should be enough. I don't know that it needs to be repeated.
Chief, how did the legal counsel address number 14?
So he didn't make any recommendation on that either way. I'd be happy to check with Mr. Luxemburg about that as well. I think likely the reason for that is oftentimes in those, and I'm not an attorney, but a single instance of some of those things, if rejected, is the end of it. But if it continues after it's been said, I'm not interested, then that turns into an issue. That may be why it says repeated. But
in the regular sexual harassment training that I have taken, the main thing is that the person doing the aggression needs to know that it is not welcome. So it is on the person who is on the receiving end to communicate, I need you to stop. But the fact that it needs to happen more than once, the term repeated bothered me. Ideally, I hope that the conduct of our members is such that if that's unwelcome, it stops immediately.
And I have no qualms about striking the verb repeated, because it is something that is unacceptable. I don't care where it is and what environment. So as far as I'm concerned, we just would start with a capital U as unwelcome.
So we're going to strike the word repeated unless advised otherwise by the attorney.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
And so, lastly, I'm sorry, did you want to?
No, I just wanted to, when we're wandering around between 13 and 15, we would keep 15 and strike 13.
Keep 13 and strike 15.
Okay.
We have a policy, and
is that clearly sufficient? I mean, sometimes you need to be redundant just because you need to be redundant. You know, if somebody wants to see what's there, if they have an attorney, then says, I like 15 the language better. And maybe you could incorporate, keep 15, but then incorporate as spelled out in or as detailed in the district's anti-discrimination harassment policy number 1016.
Would it we not be better then to take 15 and incorporate that into 1016? Because that's where it would really belong.
So, but you have under this section serious infractions. So wouldn't you need the reference in what is defined as a serious infraction? Wouldn't you need to keep some of this language in this section? I don't know.
I think one of the dangers of a lot of specificity in it is like in the removal of number 11, which was brought forward by a labor rep, was actually in contradiction to other policies. And so that is, I guess, the main danger is the wording of it. Now, I think this is pretty clearly in violation in 15, but I guess that would be my two cents on that.
I'm not wedded to it. I just thought maybe if you have spell it out here and you reference or refer to 1016, it's further lets a legal counsel for somebody who has done something covering in 15, 14, 15, and 13, make it clear. So that if somebody has been brought up on number 14 or number 15 or number 13, the legal counsel can say, hey, you know, they've really got this nailed down and you were accused of X, Y, and Z. You know, do we want to pursue this or do you want to, move on? I don't know. I feel that if you have a document like this and it spells out clearly the rules of the road, it just might make it easier for the district to come. It might make it such that the employee in question sees this and their legal counsel sees it and they say, yeah, well, I don't want to contest, but I'm not wedded to either of these, but I, based on what our legal counsel recommends, I would go with.
A potential compromise could be to keep 15 and add a last sentence that says further details about this are expanded upon in the district's anti-discrimination and harassment policy number 1016.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's dangerous to have it defined in two places. That's my concern, is that 1016 defines a lot of what comes under discrimination, harassment, and having it defined here, then if one gets changed, we got to change both of them. Whereas if it refers you to 1016, then that's the document that counts.
let us hear back on the second reading what our legal counsel recommends. But I do think there's a bit of a challenge with the redundancy between 13 and 15.
Yeah, you said you had one more.
The other concern I have is probably one of the biggest changes in the discipline and termination policy is the removal of the board from the process of termination. And I understand we want to streamline processes and make them easy. Part of our job as the board is to represent our community and to serve as a check and balance of power. I definitely read this and had some hesitation and pause. Short of the complete removal of the commission from the process, there are a few areas where I'm wondering if it might be possible to include a commissioner in the process, but I'd love to have a conversation about this. In the pre-disciplinary hearing, it's recommended to have another officer as a witness. What has been struck from number one in the pre-disciplinary hearing section is, and a quorum of the Board of Fire Commissioners. If we're removing the board, would it be appropriate to at least have one member from the board present? I think the main thing that I think about is we've all gotten to know each other over the last year or so. And I believe we have a good working relationship, and the chief is here at our selection, and that's a process of trust. But I think of the past and I think of future boards, and I wonder if it's always going to be a situation where at the sole discretion of the chief, everyone is going to feel trust and comfort in that process of removing the board from terminating an individual.
I'll weigh in on this. I view the board as we're the policy makers. I view the fire chief with a administrative structure reporting to the fire chief. We went through this process earlier with an individual, and the pre-disciplinary hearing that the board went through, in my mind, devolved some of the authority of our fire chief that we were having to do that. I feel the way it's written is the best way to do it, because if we disapprove of decisions and actions of the fire chief, then and a termination, and then we do have a recourse. That's to terminate the fire chief. But I see a flow of responsibility with all of the structure that we have. The implementation of policy is from this gentleman and everybody that reports to him. And as long as we are involved, and I would be comfortable with the results of a pre-disciplinary hearing be addressed to the board in executive session, and that the goal here is to support the administrative flow with the fire chief and everybody reporting to him. I was very uncomfortable with the process, the way it was written, where we had to be the deciders on the with this pre-disciplinary hearing process. And I think it makes it a lot cleaner for everyone involved if they know that the fire chief is the ultimate decision maker on matters like this. There's nothing that precludes people who are aggrieved to report and meet with the commissioners, but a decision on firing is, and we don't need to be involved in that it is solely his responsibility, and that's where I come down on this.
Yeah, I would say it's not normally the board's responsibility to be involved in the hiring or the firing process, other than with the fire chief.
We're presently not involved in the hiring process except for the chief.
Yeah.
We learn of the new folks who have been brought onto the team. I know that it's not uncommon for this, a policy like this, to be in place in a larger department, but we are a relatively small one. And again, I think when I think about this in terms of not being the present team that we have, a different chief, a different board of commissioners, I just remain concerned that my feeling on this comes to a matter of a balance of power.
And Commissioner, I respect where you're coming from based on the 2+ years under previous administration. I can well understand your concerns. They are my concerns too, but it still boils down to a process that provides an accountability to everybody, to him or her in the later time, maybe, that we need to be appraised, but I just feel it dilutes some of the authority of our fire chief to have us involved in that process. And granted, just as an observer, but I still feel it has some diluting effect.
I don't know that I have any further discussion, but I appreciate being heard.
Yeah. And there's nothing to say in the future bottom line is your concern, which was my concern prior to hiring Chief Walsh, was, you know, having a chief that works cooperatively with us and with staff. There's nothing to say in the future. A future board would hope that if something went awry, that they know what they can do with that potentially recalcitrant chief.
Personally, I'd like to take a little bit of time to think about this comment. I'm going to recommend that we table this and get through the first two questions with the lawyer and come back to this at the next meeting. To everybody.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Given this is the first reading, we have some more time to think about it, and let's see how we feel about this next month.
And there's nothing to say. We can have a third reading if we have to have it.
Yep.
So, Chief, we've seen various iterations in PDF and Word. When the whole thing is approved and we have a Word copy that doesn't have all these crossouts, the final document that goes into Lexapol, it's going to be smooth.
Yeah, so I can retype this once I get, now that I have your feedback, and it sounds like I know mostly what you want, and I'll get Commissioner Erickson's further feedback for the introductory paragraph. I'll rewrite it. When it goes into Lexapol, it's got to be retyped. The program has its own formatting stuff. So if we can get the content right, that'll get cleaned up entering it into that. And I'm going to continue to looking into the process for approving the policies through Lexapol. You can do it all within the program. It's just more difficult. It's more difficult to post it for you guys to see and to edit on the Word documents and things like that. So as clunky as it is, this is probably the best process right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to read through the Lexapol, the other parts of it, to make sure there's nothing that is in conflict too.
Yeah, and you guys should all have access to that. If you don't, let me know. We'll make sure that you have the logins for it.
Okay. Next thing, Washington State Ferries Agreement.
So we've been looking through contracts over the course of the year to make sure everything's up to date and to get paid through our contracts and update the ones that aren't. Our agreement for fire protection at the Clinton Ferry Terminal expired in 2020, and we haven't been paid since 2019. So I've been able to contact their contracts desk and had a couple of long conversations with that gentleman. He's assured me that they're going to produce for us a new contract and pay us back to 2019. Still working on that. Hope to have something by next board meeting.
Can I ask for a clarification? Can you tell me more about what this agreement actually says or what it does?
Yeah, I'd be happy to send you all a copy of it. But basically, it is an agreement for us to provide fire protection for the buildings at the Clinton Ferry Terminal.
The kiosk and the waiting room.
The one building. And the way that it's written is that it's not tied to AV or anything like that. It's a fee per square foot. So it doesn't change with time, which is interesting. That's not ideal. I have reached out to other fire departments with fire protection with ferry terminals in their district, and they're all sounding to be in a very similar position that we are. So
you mean not being paid?
Correct. and some of them weren't aware that it existed, so they were happy to hear. So we're able to do that, but I will forward you what we do have. I'm waiting. He's stated that they're going to send us a new one, which would go before the board, obviously.
So presently, if any building at the ferry terminal were to catch on fire, they haven't paid us to put that fire
out. We're just not going to put it out. No, of course we're going to put it out. We'll respond and do our job. But that, I think, it's just something that kind of fell through the cracks.
Okay. So are we going to be able to charge some backdated interest?
Yeah.
Inflation?
Yeah.
No, there's no inflation on it. That's one of the issues.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
We might need to up the cost then on the new one.
Yeah.
And then the last thing, which actually isn't on the agenda, but which has come up, and that was the interlocal agreement with the hospital.
So, yeah, we have an interlocal agreement with Whidbey Health to provide EMS services. As you know, they're the taxing entity for the EMS levy in our district. With that, they pay us a fee for services based on our AV, which is 0.035 per thousand. That's renewed in 3-year increments. It was up on March 31st. As you know, they have gone through a lot of changes, been in contact with their CEO, the new CEO. I met with him again today. And we're in process of renewing it. They're happy with where we are on it right now. And so I've furnished him with a copy today, updated with dates, which if everything looks good to them, I'll bring back to the board for approval. I think that it's a reasonable agreement for us at this time. There's hasn't been a lot of greater impact for our agency as far as cost for EMS. It is tied to AV, and they have not done a levy increase in a number of years now. So I think it's a 3-year agreement. It would take us through 26. You know, obviously that would be up the board. That would be my recommendation at this time. And if there were to be a change, we could always go back and renegotiate the contract. But
okay. Item 6, part 2. Chief's update on the levy planning.
Yeah, so as you know, our levy goes through 2025. After that time, we go to the 1% state, you know, standard rate for our levy. We reached out to Liz Loomis, as we had discussed during the budgeting process. We would reach out to her as a consultant this year. Contacted her over the last month, and we've had some communications via email. And discussing sort of what our goals are with the district and where we're at, and sent her back a copy of our existing levy. Mm-hmm. And she's suggested we may be better off to go out in 2024. Mm-hmm. We're still in communication, and I think we'll be coming up sometime this summer, maybe into fall, where we'll start to want to work together with the board and Liz and put together a plan.
Yeah.
So this proposed to do a levy lift in 2024 would be to go into force when the current levy lift expires?
To go into force at the end of 2024, into 2025.
Okay, but yeah. You were saying earlier that it would, the current thing expires in 25.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It would also give us, if something doesn't work and we don't get the, do we need a 60% or majority? Do you know?
I don't believe we would need a super majority.
Okay, but regardless, yeah. Whether it's a super majority or majority, mm-hmm. If for some reason we're not successful, we do have some time in 2025.
Correct.
Yeah. I think that's a good approach.
Yeah, obviously we've got to have a capital spending plan in place before we can do that.
Yeah, conveniently we're working on the 10-year financial plan. Kat and I have been working on that, and also a standard cover, which mm-hmm. are really instrumental in being able to understand what our needs are and then convey those needs to the public.
Yay. Announcements. Any announcements?
Jake Gervais had a baby.
Yes, thank you. Yes, Jake Gervais had a baby. And it sounds like in other news that Chief Helm has been selected for Central, if the text I got is correct, for the new Central Chief.
And is he with Central now, or?
Yeah, he's the interim. Yeah.
Okay, good. So.
Okay.
Congratulations to Rowena, Jake, and is it Cassie or Casey? Congratulations to them.
I don't believe there's any requirement for an executive session.
Before we get beyond that, I do have something under comments from commissioners.
Okay.
Recently, we had the awards banquet, and I have to say, every time I go to one, I'm further impressed. But my hat's rhetorically off to the people that put it together: John Beck, Alex McMahon, Leah Kalahicki, Mary St. Amend, Nikki Hagen, and Tom Gideon. All these people brought it together and made it such a roaring success, because when we come together, it's one thing every day and then every week, but to have recognition to everybody who does her, his job with aplomb, and to have this group put together such a affirming, is a good word, positive evening. Job well done to you all.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've had people there early and people staying long after it was over. It was very good. Okay, anything else? Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Very good.
All against?